When I first started to teach and to preach, I remember putting a lesson together, and I would sit down and I'd be like, all right, God, what do you want me to tell these people? And so then he'd direct me to his word, right? And I would open his word, right? And I'd be like, wow, this is so good. I just went up there and read the Bible. I thought, wow, it's so good. Like, doesn't everyone get it? Like, the Word of God is so powerful. It like, enlightens you, right? And, I don't know, probably wasn't that good at preaching. I think it's more than just, reading the God's Word. But is it really? I mean, can I bring you anything more powerful today than to hear from God? Is there anything more powerful than that? That's what I want to do. And so I got a lot of scriptures today, I'll admit it. We're going to do some unique things with the scriptures at the end of our service today, but I want you to put this hat on, put this thinking on, right? This is your attitude, okay? The Word of God, what it says is life-changing stuff, right? It's not just words on a piece of paper. I know people who think they study it like a scientific diagram, right? And they're in there and they're like, well, this says that and that says that, but no, it's more than that. It's alive. Like, this is the message that God has for you. You know, we'll get kids sometimes, being a youth pastor, and they'll say, well, God's never spoke to me. Isn't it powerful when God speaks to you? Right? Like Randy was saying. And we'll have kids say, man, God's never spoke to me. I just never heard him. I said, really? Open up your Bible. Open up their Bible. Read that verse. I'll read the verse. God just spoke to you. Right? God speaks to us through his word. It's simple as that. And sometimes we take it for granted, or, we don't think it's as impactful as it really is. But man, I'll tell you what, here's my heritage in the Lord. Like, we all have our testimony, right? You should be practiced. You should know what your testimony is. When I was 12 years old, I might have been 11, not really sure. I bet you I was 11. My dad had gone to an alcohol rehabilitation center. He'd been gone for months, right? Alcoholic, he had turned jaundice, like he had grandma epilepsy, he had lupus. I mean, this was a very sick man. He was on his deathbed. Hospital came, picked him up, took him away. He went to a drug rehabilitation center, right? And I'm like 11 years old. Well, guess what? 6 months later, my dad comes home. And he walks in the door and he does something he never did my entire life. To this day, it still gets me. He gets down on one knee. And he puts his arm out like this, and he says, I love you. And he gave me a huge hug. I had never heard I love you from my dad. I never got a hug from my dad. It was just like one of those moments, like, I didn't even know how to react. Like, it never happened to me before. And so from that point on, I mean, I received Jesus because I figured any God who can bring my dad essentially back from the dead is a God worth serving, right? That was my thinking at 11 years old. And man, I would get out God's word and I would get out the Bible and I would read it. I mean, I would let it seep into my heart. It was like the only thing that I had that I could know what God was like. Like every word just, it blew up in my eyes, into my mind, and my imagination. I felt hard for God when I came to the Lord. And so that's my desire for you today. When we open up God's word, when we begin to look at it, and we're just about ready, right? I want it to be that impactful for you. Today the Lord told me that every single person in this place, he's going to speak to. There's going to be a verse, there's going to be a chapter, there's going to be a scripture, there's going to be something that God is going to speak to you directly today. You will not leave here without hearing from God today. Okay? That's what he promised. So, let's, Randy, if we could get just start my my first slide there. We're going to talk today about God's strong tower. The word of the Lord is the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And you know, whenever we get in trouble, and there is trouble in these lives, right? How many of you have ever experienced trouble? How many of you are in trouble? How many of you blame yourself? Right? We've all been in trouble, and no matter who you are, where you're at, there's going to be things in life that come along, but the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Whenever you get in trouble, it's the best thing to do is to dial what? dial when you get in trouble? Emergency. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Let's try 911, right? That's what we should do. So I thought maybe we could look up Psalms 91:1. So if you could put that scripture up there, that's what we're going to read. Okay? 911, right? When you're in trouble. If you're in trouble, don't forget, man, this is good stuff. We're going to read a lot of it, but it's okay. You'll get through it. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High. And when I was a kid, I was like, whoa, God has a shadow, right? This is what I'm thinking. Like, I'm tearing this stuff. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I'd never even thought that thought before. You know what I mean? Like, two, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. You mean I can trust in God? You know what I mean? Like, the word of God was so alive to me because I had never heard it before. I had nothing to hang on to. The towers that I had built had all crumbled. We'll be talking about those later. If I keep at this rate, we'll be here all day, so I shouldn't keep moving. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plagues that destroy at midday. 1,000 may fall at my right at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion. Just blows me away. What does that even look like? How many of you have ever treaded on a lion? And the cobra, you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Sometimes when you read God's word, you just want to go, hallelujah! Don't you? Isn't it exciting? Like, there's no danger that's going to come upon you that when you're in the refuge of the Most High that you have to fear. They will not overcome you. It says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy and show him my salvation. Is that it? Okay, good. All right, so, you know, like Pastor Gerald said, we got to get a little crazy because I am the youth pastor. So, I have this bucket. And I thought, my first thought was that maybe I could throw it out in the crowd. I told some of you not to sit in the front seat. That was very wise of you to do. But then I thought Pastor Jimmy might not ever let me preach again, so I went against that. So I need a volunteer. All right, Gus. All right, oh, wait a minute. You know, I think if you're in it, no, come on up. I think if you're going to get in trouble and you know you might get wet. You might need someone to come with you. So grab someone to come with you. Whoever you want. Mom's safe. Bring her up here. All right. Give her a hand. All right. So we're going to see what happens. There's definitely something in this bucket. Come on over. Stand right over here. So. You're not going to beat me or anything, are you? Okay, stand right here next to your son. There you go. Stand together, because I want to hit you both. So, you know, right now, are either of you praying at this moment? Right now? Are either of you praying? No? I might suggest you do that. All right, but you're lucky today, because I'm in a good mood. And I want to make a good example. I have this umbrella. Do you want the umbrella? Yes. All right. Whoa. All right. Are you afraid of getting wet now? No? So when troubles in life come, and they will come, it's good to have a shelter, right? How many of you think there's anything in here? Yeah, there is, but not much. Don't worry. Only that much. I think you guys are safe. You can put it down now. Give them a hand. I'll take that. So, you know, there's some other things with the umbrella I thought. I'm going to mention it while I have it out. I don't know how I got my arm wet. Okay, so like the word of the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's a shelter, right? God talks about covering us. But you know, so many times we're trying to find God's will. We try to figure out what is the best way, you know what I mean? Like, where's God going, right? And so many times we try to either leave the umbrella, right? Because, oh yeah, I'm supposed to go over here, and we don't have God's shelter over our head. Did you ever do that? I'm the only one. Okay. Sometimes we'll be like, yeah, I'm going to use God's shelter, and I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going this way, and we try to control the direction of God's covering, right? That never works for me, because the Lord says to stay inside his shelter. If you're looking for God's will in your life, if you're looking for direction on something in particular, right, don't try to go someplace and let God's protection and provision drag behind you, right? And don't try to lead it. Don't try to go like this. What you need to do is not worry about moving, but being in the shelter. Stay underneath the shelter, right? God will direct you. You know, there's a lot of times in life when God doesn't have you do anything. Sometimes he just has you sit still. You know, one of the examples that I think of, Jesus Christ, when he was about to be crucified, right? He knew he was going to the cross. He knew all the stuff was going to happen to him. And what did he do on the last night? He went to the garden and prayed. He took his closest disciples with him, and he's like, all right, here's the deal. I want you guys to pray, and then I'm going to go over here and pray, right? And he brought them with him. Of course, they fell asleep, and he prayed. He said, Lord, if this cup, you know, let it pass. Let this pass cup. But if it be your will, then I'll do it, right? How many times did he pray that prayer, Bible scholars? Someone answered. Three times he prayed that prayer. How did God answer him? He didn't. He didn't answer Jesus when Jesus cried out. Why? Because he knew. He spoke to him by his silence. Sometimes God will speak to you through his silence. Should I do this? Wait. Should I do this? I don't have an answer. I got to do something. No, you don't. Just wait. It's all right to wait. I'm so far off topic right now. But it's okay. All right. You know, there are storms in life that come along. Difficulties that are usually come by that are unexpected. Isn't it true? You know, some of the things I think of that come along in life that are really difficult can be maybe your health, right? Sometimes unexpected things happens in your health. Sometimes in your wealth, maybe you're broke. Maybe you've been broke for years, right? You know, sometimes there's just an attack. Have you ever felt like you've been attacked by Satan, right? Some circumstances happen and you know this isn't God's will and it's rotten things that are happening. You're like, this stuff isn't right. Just an attack, right? There's poverty that can come. There's enemies that come. Have you ever gone to work or you ever work with somebody that they just came against you for no reason? Do you ever work with somebody that just doesn't like you? They're a thorn in your side. They drive you absolutely nuts, right? There are struggles that happen in life, right? Sometimes fear is the most overwhelming thing, a storm that can come into people's lives. How you handle fear is really, really important, and God talks about how to handle fear. He says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you, right? Fear. Sometimes fear can be one of the hugest attacks in life. And you know what? I could list 100 more. I don't know what your attack is today. Maybe you don't have one. That's awesome. Here's the deal. I'm speaking to two people today. Two kinds of people. Did you know there's two kinds of people? There's guys and girls, right? Yeah, that's it. But no, I'm talking to people who are already in the sanctuary or already in the shelter. They called on the name of the Lord, and he's a fortified tower, and you're in the tower. You know what? I know there's people like that here today because I know some of you, and I've talked with you. But you know what? Even though you're in the shelter and in the tower, there's another set of people that are already in. They're people who worry and fret, and they want to believe God's word, and they want to be secure, but they live inside the tower in fear. I want to talk to you today. Then there's a whole other kind of people, the people who aren't in the tower, right? There's some people who had never even thought. They're like, this name of the Lord stuff, this is foolishness. I'm smarter than that. Intellectual people have decided a long time that there is no God, that the only God there is the one that I make up. Science proves there is no God. Maybe you're that person. Maybe you're the person, I haven't even thought about God. I don't even care about God. Well, guess what? God cares about you, and he called you here today to listen to some chubby guy in the front of this sanctuary. And that's okay, because God loves you. Maybe that's you. Maybe you haven't gotten in. Maybe you don't know, but you know what? When you came into church today, you felt something. You know what? You came into church today, and there's these loving people surrounding you, and you're like, what in the world is this? Right? And you're all uncomfortable. You're sweating right now. I know I am. Right? Maybe that's you. And maybe you're in the bushes of the tower. Maybe you're standing outside and you're going, well, I don't know, it seems cool to be in, but like being out, I'm free. I can do whatever I want. Right? I can be like in both worlds. Right? When everyone from inside the tower is all celebrating and having fun, I can come out from the bushes and yeah, praise Jesus. And then when they leave, I can get back in the bushes. And then when the guys are really having fun and they're drinking, they're doing crazy stuff, doing stuff I know I shouldn't, then I'll get out of the bushes and go, yeah, party, right? Get out of the bushes. That's what I have to say to you today. Get out of the bushes. Let's settle this thing, man. We don't have time for this. God's got a plan for your life. He's got something for you to do. There's people waiting for you. God called you to reach them. He didn't call somebody else. He called you. God wants to use you. Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I'm just not good enough to do it. Or, you know, I don't have confidence. Or I don't have any gifts. I don't have any skills. You know, God couldn't choose me. Lies. Dude, you know why I stand up here? It's not because of my talents. It's not because of so good looking, although I know I am. Right, Linda? I got one amen. You know why I stand up here? Because God called me. Why did Moses get called to lead his people out of Egypt? Why did he get chosen? Because he's an eloquent speaker? Because he was such a good-looking guy? No, he could stutter. Right? He had a problem. He's a murderer. Why did God choose him? I don't know. God chose him. Why did God choose me? I don't know. God chose me. Because I'm willing. That's why. God chose you. Why? I don't know. Go with it. Right? Just go with it. God chose you. There are many storms, but you know what? There's also many towers in life. We all have towers in our life that we have built. Towers are forged brick by brick by our own life experiences. Things that we trust in. Right? What is it that you trust in? Do you really trust in the name of the Lord? And I hope, I pray that I do. When times get tough, who do you trust in? Because there's other things in life that you can trust in. The Word of God says this, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Right? What do you trust in? There's plenty of things you can trust in. One of the things that I trusted in was my own self-reliance. I can do this. I'm going to figure out a way to do this myself. I don't need any help from anybody else. I'm smart, right? I'm determined, and I'm going to finish this. Some of you rely on that tower. Guess what? That tower is not strong enough. It will not stand against the pressures of this life. Some of you trust in others' opinions. Well, they think I can do it. I must be able to do it. Yeah, I'm getting lots of applause, so yeah, maybe I can do it. Or, you know, there's this other twisted thing that people trust in. Sometimes people trust in failure. Say, what? No, they do. They trust that they're such a bad person that they know that God hates them so much that no matter what they do, it's going to fail. Some people trust in that. This is also a lie. Right? Some people trust in all kinds of things. Some people trust in money. Well, it doesn't really matter because at the end of the day, I still have money. Right? I can accomplish what I want. I can still take my vacation. Right? I can still have the car that I want. I can still do all the things that I want. I can help people. Why? Because I have money. Guess what? That tower doesn't stand. If God wanted to remove your money, he would. He's the one that gave it to you. Give thanks. Some people trust in their own goodness. I'm a good person. Good things are going to happen to me. Right? Guess what? Your goodness is filthy rags to God. Some people trust in other people. We've been very blessed through the years. And Linda and I, her mother and father have helped us out. My mom and dad have helped us out, but we don't put our trust there. Some people trust in other people. In your life, what is the tower that you have built? What do you trust in? Psalms 27. Randy, if you want to put that slide up, that'd be great. I think that's the second slide. Yes. Psalms 27. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. If you look at that verse that we said from the beginning, Proverbs 18:10, it says, "For the name of the Lord is a fortified tower." So my question is, when I read that, what does his name have power to do? Have you ever thought about that? What does God's name have power to do? You know, the Bible puts it very simply. It says this, "Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Did you know that? Even those who are evildoers, even those who don't want to bow, they will bow before our God and our King. Every knee will bow. Tell me what authority is missing. I can't think of a knee that doesn't qualify to. I can't think of a situation that doesn't qualify to. He gives us the power to cast out demons. You know, I'll never forget a story that Amy LaFave told. How many of you know Amy? There are missionaries in Vietnam, and let's just say they live a colorful life. They're servants of the Most High God. And so what Amy does is she works with kids who need help, right? Learning disabled, maybe speech sort of stuff. And she ran into a kid that everyone else said, "This kid's uncontrollable. There's nothing we can do. He just gets all riled up. He's running all around. He's acting crazy." And they call Amy in. You know what Amy does? This kid starts to attack her or get really wild. I don't remember if he attacked her or not. And she said, "In the name of Jesus, stop." You know what that kid did? Stopped right there. Dude, there's power in the name of Jesus, right? Power over the unseen and seen. When you get in a tight spot and you don't know what to do, there's one thing that I can guarantee your safety. Call on the name of Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to it, and we are told to use it. You know, we have another power. This one isn't used very often. In the name of Jesus, you know what that is? To forgive. You know what? How many of you have been forgiven by Jesus Christ? How many of you have been forgiven? Isn't that awesome? He has a power to forgive us our sins. All the sins that we have done are piled up, right? They're many. I have a wicked heart. The Bible says that all men have sinned. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? And the wages of sin is death. And the only way that we can get to God, right, is if the penalty of our sin has been paid for. If we paid for it ourselves, we'd all be dead because none of us qualify or are able to reach and to be with God. We aren't good enough. We would die in the attempt. But guess what? Jesus Christ came and he paid the penalty of our sins. And that's the power to forgive. But yet there's another power that lingers. The power for us to forgive other people. Jesus, when he was on the cross, surrounded by those who crucified him, who had beat him, who had put him on the cross, who he had legitimate reason to be mad at, What did he say about them? He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. You know what? In your life, I know that there have been people who slighted you. I know that there have been things that have happened that have been unjust and unfair. You may have been bullied, maybe even be worse than that. But God gives you the power to forgive. You know, we're going to talk about forgiveness. I have this awesome scripture. It was one of the things the Lord told me to tell you today, was talk about unforgiveness. Well, we'll get to it. But unforgiveness, someone smarter than me said, that unforgiveness or bitterness is like taking poison yourself, taking poison and expecting the other person to die. You can't hold bitterness and hate and anger in your heart and not have the effects of it. You know, the other power that happens that we have through the name of Jesus Christ is the power to change circumstances. If you're ever in a tight spot, if you don't know what to do, if it looks like it is the end, call on the name of the Lord, for he is a strong tower. He's a great refuge. You know, how does this whole thing, why would it matter you use or you call on the name of Jesus and it would actually do anything, right? Like, is it some sort of sorcery? You know, like, how does this work? You just call on the name and this power happens? Let me explain to you. Let me show you how I think about this. Have you ever been a kid and then your brother or sister comes in and says, you have to do this. You have to take out the garbage, Johnny. You're like, no, I don't. Yeah, you do. No, I don't. You take it out if you want it out. Uh-uh. Dad said. Dang it. Right? Did Dad's word have power in your house? Did it in my house? Maybe it's Mom. Mom said. Well, I don't care if Dad said, but if Mom said, oh, I'm going to have to do this thing. Right? One time my buddy said, this is the crazy things we do when we're kids. One time my buddy said, he's like, what do you say when your mom tells you to take out the garbage? I say, okay. He goes, next time she comes up and says, hey, there's the garbage, say to her, hey, what does that mean to me? I tried that once. 3 days later, I woke up. No, not really. It was not a smart thing to do. Right? You know what? There's other things that the very mention of the name has authority. Right? Did you ever have your kids threaten to call 911 on you? How many kids have you... Did I hear amen? No. How many kids ever threatened to dial 911 on your parents? Right? But literally, like, the police have authority, right? When they get called into the arena, it changes things. Right? Just the mention of their name. You know, there's other things like presidential pardons. Right? Just by the mention that the president says, you're exonerated. You don't have to worry about this. You're no longer convicted and you're no longer guilty. Bam, you're free. Just by the mention of the name. And the same way with the judge. The judge can find you guilty. The judge can find you innocent. There's power and authority in that name. And in the same way in life, there's power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord. When you mention that name and you're in a tight spot, things change. It redefines the situation, right? There are many times in life when you don't know what to do. Guess what? It's okay. Just get under the shelter of the Almighty. Call on his name. It's a strong tower. I don't know if God's going to change circumstances. I don't know if he's going to give you strength to get through. I don't know, because it's not my job to know. It's my job to do. It's your job to do. We don't know the answers to everything that happens in life. But we know where the power comes from, and we know how to get through it. So, those of you who are in the tower, who are walking with the Lord, but yet you still struggle with fret. You know, there's a few scriptures that I want to tell you about. One says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will keep your path straight. Trust in the Lord. He will keep your path straight. Trust in the Lord. Psalms 28:7 says this: "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy. With my song, I praise him." Psalms 37 says this, and this is one of the things the Lord put on my heart to tell you. I'm going to start with verse 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture." How many of you want that? Safety, right? "Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." How many of you are into that? All right, good. "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. Your vindication like the noonday sun." I'm digging this. This is all right. Now, the next few verses, get a hold of this. It says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Easier said than done. "Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil." I'm going to say that again. It's simple but profound. It says, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, because it leads to evil. Did you ever think of that? Did you ever think your worry and your anxiety and the things in your life that really stir you up, that that's a path to evil? Sometimes we think it's just a harmless thing we do. Well, I'm not hurting anyone. I'm just worrying. You know, I don't mention it to anyone. That's just what I do. My mind just stirs, right? You think that it's simple, like it's not going to have any consequences. But you know what the Word of God says? It leads only to evil. It says, "For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." You know, I think so many people don't know what to do with their worries in life. I think they don't know what to go with them. I know for me, like, I felt guilty when I felt afraid or that I was concerned whether God would provide or not. I would feel guilty. Like, I shouldn't be feeling this way. This is wrong. I shouldn't be afraid, right? Which would heap even more shame on my life. That's the way that I would feel. And then you know what? When I feel ashamed and guilty, then I don't pray. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe you're with me. I'd worry, and then I think, well, I can't pray to God because God promised it would be okay. But what does God tell us to do? Cast your cares on me, because he loves you, right? Tell God how you feel. You're not offending him. You're not sinning. We are made with emotions. We're made with feelings. Just because we become children of God doesn't mean our emotions and our feelings go away. You still have them, just as strong as ever, if not stronger. It's okay to have them. It's okay to have feelings. But you know what? It's not okay to stay there and to dwell in fear and fret, because it leads to anger, and anger is evil, and it'll destroy you. It'll destroy your physical body if you let it linger. It'll destroy your mind where you can't even think clearly. All you can think about is fear. I'll continue on. Verse 12 says this: "The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming." Your day is coming. "The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow," they're ready to strike, "to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken." Isn't that beautiful? God is our defender. "For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him." Is that you? Does God make your steps firm? Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I'm old, yet I never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They are always generous and lend freely, and their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just, and he will not forsake his faithful ones. The Lord says this, Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Psalms 112:7 says, they will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Said a growl there. Not sure why. See, we have to know our proper position. We have to know what it's like to be in the tower and what we're there for. You know, some people come into God's kingdom and they think, well, you know what? I have a shared inheritance. I must be the king. So therefore, I'm going to command everything and that I want to happen to be done. And they go out and they proclaim and they claim stuff, right? But guess what? That's not your position. You're not God himself, right? Now, if God tells you something, proclaim it and he will bring it, right? But there's the difference that God tells you. It's like this. In God's fortress, we are the prince or the princess. We are the ones who have an inheritance. See, we're not responsible for the protection. The king is. God's responsible for your protection, not you. And you know what? As the prince, you have access to everything. You do. But you don't own everything. But you have access to it. And the prince must trust in the Father's authority. We must trust him. We must always look to him in his safety, in his strength, and in his demeanor. I just have one more scripture and we're going to be done. We're going to do something a little bit unique. We're going to close this service. I don't know. When I was a kid, I went to a Catholic church, right? Any of you ever do that? Well, there's this cool thing that they did, and I didn't think it was cool then, but I kind of think it's cool now. The older you get, the more you appreciate stuff that happened when you're smaller. Anyway, what they would do is they would like the whole congregation would read together a certain phrase or a certain thing, right? And there is this flow to the service. So like everyone knew what they're supposed to say at the right time. Everyone knew when to kneel. I didn't. I just followed along, right? Because I was a kid. But one of the things I noticed through Scripture is that there's power when people are united. Right? When the Israelites came back to God, it said that they declared their allegiance to him as one voice. There's power when we do that. Like, it breaks strongholds. You know what I'm saying? And you know, as a church, I want to do that. So I have a few things up on the board, and here's the way that we're going to do it. The stuff that we have highlighted, and this is straight from Psalms 118, but the stuff that I have highlighted, I want you to say. So, if I would read this, I would say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His, and then, right. So the thing that I always hated about that was that people would say it like they're asleep. His love endures forever. Right? And it drove me nuts, and it was boring, and I didn't like it. So we're not going to do it that way. We're going to do it like we mean it, right? Fair enough? In unity? So like, his love endures forever. And not only that, I thought, you know, I'm being recorded. So, like, I don't want to be the guy yelling, you know, like, in the microphone. Everyone would start listening to this, and they'd be like, his love endures forever, turn it down, right? I don't want to be that guy if anyone listens to the sermon. So we're going to do this. I also have another spot after his love endures forever. This is pretty lengthy, but it's okay. You get through it, right? We're closing early. And we're going to talk about using the name of the Lord to cut our enemies down, right? So we're going to say something like, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. We're going to repeat that like three times. And then at the very end, we're going to go back to his love endures forever. Okay? Are we ready? Ready to do this? This can be really cool. Or it's going to flop. I'm praying for cool. Okay. Psalms 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I think that's cool. Let Israel say. Let the house of Aaron say. Let those who fear the Lord say. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and he brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surround me, but that's right. We cut them down in the name of the Lord. They surround me on every side. They swarm around me like bees, but they are consumed as quickly as burning thorns. Do you see what's going on here? You have the authority to cut down those attacks in your life. Don't let them stand. Man, is there disunity between your wife and you? Are you fighting for a marriage? Are you fighting for your kids? Are they being disrespectful? Guess what? It's a spiritual problem as much as it's any other kind of problem. Take away their roots. Cut them down. The word of God, the name of the Lord will cut them down. Don't live in misery. We're not made to live that way. We're made to live in righteousness. Right? All right. Sorry. 13. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high, and the Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live. That's a powerful statement right there. That's a promise for someone today. I will not die, I will live. I'll proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks. He has answered you. He has become your salvation. This is not a myth. This is not something that we just come to church and we go home because we had our little club meeting. Oh, wasn't that fun? Worship was so fantastic, wasn't it? Right? It was so beautiful in there. Weren't they dressed nicely? No, this stuff is like real. Right? This will save your life. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. You know what that's talking about? Jesus. That's who Jesus is. He was rejected by his generation. He has become the cornerstone, which is the foundation, the centerpiece. It's a piece that you lay down first. Jesus has become that cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it in this very way. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. He will. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God. Yes. I get so excited over this stuff. With boughs in his hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, let's pray. Father, your love does endure forever. Lord, you have called your people to this place today to worship your name. Lord, you've called a stranger here. You've called those who are part of our family. Lord, because you love us and you want to speak to us, and you have. Lord, I pray that the words that you spoke to your children today would not fall on deaf ears, but they would take what you have spoken. Lord, I would take what you have spoken to me and let it become a part of my heart and a part of my life, because I know it's alive. Father, you are my great reward. You are my great refuge. Father, I pray today that you send your people out, and may your light shine on them. May they have success. But Lord, I know that many times in life there are difficulties. And Lord, you show me today that you want us to pray for those who are in struggling and who are in need. Today, if you're an altar worker, if you've come and prayed for people before, I would encourage you to come because there are needs in this place today. So come on up. Don't wait for me to call you. Just come on up. I want to say this to you today. You are not alone. For we are in a house of the Lord together. God will not let you fail. He will not let you die. For God, He is good. And His mercy endures forever. So if you're here today, and maybe you want to give your life to the Lord, you want to come into the shelter for the first time, you've been standing outside as a critic, guess what? You need to come. I'm not going to tell you to do it now. You do it on your own time. When you direct your own heart, because it's a choice that you need to make. Maybe you're here and you're in the bushes and you want to get out of the bushes and you want to be in the sanctuary of our Lord and our God and follow Him. Then you need to come and pray a prayer of dedication to Him. Maybe today you come and you've been in the house of the Lord, yet you come with a request today. Maybe you want direction. Maybe you're trying to figure out what's next. Maybe you're just a little lost. It's okay. For the Lord cares for you. His love endures forever. If you need prayer today, then I encourage you to come. For the rest of this day, my God and my King, Lord, walk with your people. Lord, I pray that you would give them opportunities to lift up your name, to show your love and your mercy. Lord, to work for you. Lord, I pray that your light would shine upon them and that they would be blessed in all that they do. Lord Jesus, let them know that they're cared for and loved in your sanctuary. In Jesus' name I pray.